Welcome to Nuance. Hi, Mom. It's been a while.
Today's what, the 13th?
It's March.
When was the last episode
from, I don't even know if you put out one in January, to be honest.
No, yeah, we put. No, what do you mean? Don't
well,
let us
February
look
was, you know, a dud, clearly.
No, Ma, we talked. We had an episode in January. Come on.
Care to explain where that one episode is that should have been released in February is, Mom? I'm gonna listen to it today. I'm gonna do it today, the weekend.
Alright, so I take full responsibility for the February episode, and we're gonna put it out together with this one.
Well, let's
but
see
February,
how long it takes
February,
this one to be, you know.
No, but February just went so
fast.
Well, I mean, it is the shortest month, so there is also that.
Anyway.
But what happened in February? You had
I don't know, Mom. Let's hear what happened in February.
I don't know.
You were just like,
oh, you know what?
What?
Remember, February was Jonathan's birthday.
Well, yes.
And that was really a big birthday, 18. And it took
one
me for
day out of February. Oh,
no,
yes, you were mourning, you know, your children leaving, even though we both still live in this house. I'm literally sitting like not even a meter away from you. And yet you're still like, I don't have any children anymore. And me and Jonathan is like, we still live here.
But
we'd like to be fed every now and then and like, you know, see you. We're just like, oh.
But no.
You know, your dramatic self cannot.
I don't have children anymore. And yes, I took February to sort of
mourn. So dramatic.
To come to terms with that.
Oh, God. Yes, it was Jonathan.
But what else happened in February? What else happened in February?
I don't know, honestly.
Like, all of the months seem to be merging in. Because so January, February feel like an extended version of January. Like, the beginning of the year took 2 months.
Yeah, well, also we're still on the lockdown. And, you know, as soon as March hit around, we came to, you know, the 1 year anniversary of Corona, finding out that, you know, the Corona disease is a Pisces, which makes a lot of sense.
Ina, stop saying that. First of all,
I didn't say the internet did. You can't, you know, knock facts. Did it or did it not happen in March?
Well, anyway, March is good because March is my birthday.
Yes, it was also your birthday. So yeah,
that was good. I really like that. I'm still celebrating the whole of this month. So now we have an episode, so we can discuss some. All right.
So what are we talking about this episode, Mom? What's been on your mind these last weeks?
Well, there's been so much. Like the last episode, we talked about. What did we talk about in the last episode? The fourth industrial revolution. Because that was, we taped that in December, but we put it up for January.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't even remember what that other episode was that like is still in the waiting to get published. I don't even remember what that one is about.
The one that we taped that but didn't go up yet.
Yes, exactly that one.
Boy.
Look at you, because you can't even remember. You were the one. Anyway. All right.
We have to delete all of this.
No. Okay.
Yes.
No.
All right, listen. All right. So what we want to talk about is, well, I mean, how is the year going so far? We have
slow.
We have all the vaccines.
Conspiracies left, right, and center throughout, like, different things. Not just corona-based, but other things, of course.
Today is Saturday. Tomorrow is the election.
Oh, yeah, German
right.
Election.
So that should be interesting to see what happens.
Politicians getting caught that they're, you know, being bribed. Isn't that what happened with one of the German politicians? That, you know, they found out he was bribed regarding the whole mask situation.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. It's always drama.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I feel like I've just been really exhausted from
the news.
Not just the news, but just the all of 2020 was so much. And then it feels like we're still dragging. We're not really anywhere because we're still, you know, there's the whole business of people not getting the vaccines and people not wanting to take the vaccine. You have like, there's just so much that is happening. It feels sort of numbing.
Mm-hmm. And it's exhausting. It's like when you have a free minute, it's just like you just don't want to do that. You want to just enjoy the silence.
Yes,
it's
and
like
tear
nothing.
Out the window.
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, the reason why we said we want to do this one is because we wanted to talk about Meghan, because the interview with Meghan and Harry
with Oprah Winfrey.
Because we had spoken about this on previous episodes.
Was it last year when they left the family? When it was like this,
when they left the family, but we also spoke about it when they got together, mm-hmm. when they got married, and now so they've, you know, made their move. And there are so many aspects to the discussion that touches on who we are as a family, as people who were born in colonized lands of the UK. Like, there's so many aspects to it that that I thought, okay, let's try to sort of break it down and put our spin on it, or understanding of it. So the interview would happen. I watched it in German. I was very concerned that we were never going to see it. I was telling, because I told you that Danielle texted me, mm-hmm. and she was like, you know, watching it now, are you watching it? And I was like, no, we live in Narnia, so we are not. Yeah. But it was like a day after that they said, okay, they're going to do it on German TV, but it was going to be synced in German. So
yeah.
I watched it in German, and it was just so overwhelming, because I was like, all right, maybe we should.
So how was that experience, Mom, the German experience? You know how you love the German language. How was it? Did
you
enjoy it?
Why are you saying that so sarcastically? I mean, I understood it, I watched it and so on, but I really feel like I like the way how the German commentators manage it. Like, they don't get, first of all, I think I like the way how they just feel like it's so weird, like the whole business of having a monarch in the 2021, the way how their commentary is just like, okay, we have to comment on this since it's something happening in the world, but you just see that low-key they're just not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it shouldn't be even a thing, because mm-hmm. the whole business of monarchy is just so archaic.
Did you watch the 1 hour version or the 3 hour? Because, you know, they said like the actual interview is like 3 hours, but like the one that they're showing is mostly like an hour.
That's awesome.
Like, why would they in today's day and age of YouTube and all of those things, like, why wouldn't they just have it somewhere?
Yeah, but remember, I think it was put up on Oprah's channel, and it's like exclusive content. What do you mean? Everything is not on YouTube. What the hell?
I think we need to get past this and just make things free. What's the point of keeping things exclusive? Isn't that the point where we still have issues and problems in the world? Information should be open to everyone and anybody.
Yeah, that's the one thing. But this is not information that everybody have to have. It's not like I was saying with the German commentators, they were like, okay, we have to do it. But it's not like, you know, this is, we're literally in a pandemic. Like, really and truly, we should not.
Are you
not
saying Megan's problems aren't as important as the
you
coronavirus?
Tell me you're from her generation, because that's one of the things. No, because that's one of the things that people are saying.
No,
like,
she's definitely
both
from
of them. Both of them are like, you know, these crybabies who, I mean, they are wealthy, they're educated.
They don't have the money. They got, isn't that
no,
what
but you
saying?
Said that he has the inheritance from his mother, which is millions of dollars. Like, they're not poor. And where they live, you see where they did the interview? This is where they actually live in that community in California. Montecito or whatever. And it's one of the most wealthiest, exclusive communities in the world. It's not just like in the US, in the world. So anyway, so they had the interview. And all right, so where do we begin? I wanted to begin from what you just said. Like, should we care? Like, we're living in a pandemic. These are not poor people. She's on TV crying about the fact that she was not supported and so on. How much of this is like old school versus new school? Because, like, the Queen, for example, is somebody who is so, you know, she comes from the era of
everything.
Sacrifice.
I know the meme that the Queen was here before the dinosaurs, like, in terms of like how long she's just been around.
No, but I think that the ethos, like, their ethic is just sacrifice, stiff upper lip, keep your emotions to yourself, you know what I mean? Keep things under the cover. Whereas Meghan and Harry come from a generation, you know, Instagram and, you know, where we live, you know, where everything is just out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I can relate to either one, because I'm not a fan of the Queen, as you know. I feel the whole royal family thing is simply, it's, they're colonizers and they're archaic, and the whole system needs to be, you know, I mean, I think that the family itself, what is troubling for me as a person who like to think about how families should be healthy, I don't think the royal family, British royal family, is particularly healthy. Like, you know, the way how they are in terms of how they deal with their issues, and the fact that they've placed themselves, well, because of the monarchy, they've been placed in such a position where we're all watching them. They're kind of like it's like a circus and they are the animals performing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's weird because we think
what are they performing for? I mean,
for the British
yeah,
public.
Because I don't know, like,
but let's right. So I was saying before that it's like old school versus new school. It's like, so Meghan and Harry is like, you know, playing the victim, quote unquote, because I don't know if we can necessarily say that they are playing the victim, but it's old school versus new school. Like, should Harry and Meghan have expected shouldn't they have conformed then to the British royal?
Right.
Why should they think that they shouldn't want to go up against it? This is me being the devil's advocate. So necessarily,
because we're not
that.
Robots, we're individual human beings. They can have, you know, this we can decide about what you want to do in your life. And you know, I don't know if we'll ever really know all the details of situations that were happening or the stuff they had to, you know, deal with. I think we only got a glimpse. I was like watching we all know Dr. Todd Grandy on YouTube, the guy who always like the psychologist, yes, you know, he has on the glasses and he always like, he psychoanalyzes the videos and he has this very just dry sense of humor where he like, he brings in his comments and stuff. Exactly, like he reacted to he gave his opinions on the whole thing, and like he said something I also realized like watching like clips from the interview, that you can see that both Meghan and Harry, they were restraining themselves, that like, they could have probably said more, but they really were trying to like keep some information or not let too much out, and that could either be, you know, fear, and or I don't know, maybe there are some contractor things that they're not allowed to, you know, go against.
Let's pinpoint the main things that they say in the interview, the things that stood out. So there was the business of, first of all,
suicide. It was
well, let's start from the beginning as it relates to the race thing, because when she was doing her part of the interview alone with Oprah, she said that Harry told her that he was in conversations regarding people having conversations about
the color of Archie's skin.
The color of that at the time he wasn't born yet. So it wasn't a situation that she actually was
her,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she said that caused a lot of stress for her. She also said that she had the whole business of being depressed because, you know, after the wedding, during the wedding, the whole thing of who made Kate cry. I don't know if you saw that
part.
Where it was like, it was reported
tabloids.
In the tabloids that she made Kate cry, only to find out she told us that, no, it's the other way around, actually. And it was a week before the wedding and, you know, things were said and Kate apologized. All right. And it was the way that was dealt with by the tabloids after her wedding that made her realize that the queen was not, and not even just the queen, but like
the whole British structure
wasn't going to protect her.
I don't know if you saw it, but on Instagram it was very interesting. They showed like similar stories that both Kate and like Meghan were involved in, and it showed like side by side
the way how they were dealt
with. The biggest one I thought was just like so ridiculous was in terms of like during the pregnancy eating avocados. Like Kate was like, you know, tips and tricks of like, you know, Kate Middleton is doing this to, you know, go through pregnancy, whereas like Meghan eating avocados, Meghan supports child labor
of that is caused by Meghan and Harry though, because they're the ones who put themselves up as these paragons of virtue. Remember when they were carrying on about how they're not going to the climate, we have to protect the climate and whatnot, and they were flying on private jet all over the place, right? Also, I think there was I watched something one time where it was like, you know, the world population is so great or whatever, and they're like, okay, but why are you having children then? Like, why are you contributing to the whole thing?
But think about it. Can't you have hold two opinions at the same time? Like, you know, I mean,
but you can't hold two opposing opinions. Like, if you say that you think traveling back and forth is very bad for the environment,
sure,
and
like,
you travel back and forth, it's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure Kate and William, they all say, you know,
but let's be clear, we're not talking about Kate and William. Doing no interview.
Well, this in terms of this kind of interview, but like in terms of, okay, like let's say like climate change, I'm sure they're also like, you know, for, you know, bettering the system with, you know, like adapting to climate change better, and I'm sure still they also, you know, fly jets and all of that, but like they go extra hard towards like Meghan. Granted, I'm not gonna lie, didn't follow the whole thing, like not been following the family, like the British family, that long, that I know that much, that many, you know.
Well, let me just say that I think that think when you put yourself up as somebody who is telling people what to do, remember they were the ones who are saying stuff like, well, you know, what like giving instructions as to what we in the world about the environment, and then now you in the next same breath is traveling around on a, like, come on.
All right, but my question is, just like we said that before, that them saying, you know, we should do all this camp for children, did they really say, like, they publicly tweeted, say it in an interview or something like that, or is it that tabloids, like, you know, were talking about them, speaking about, you know what I mean?
No, I've heard Harry specifically say that the state of the world in terms of the environment is literally depressing him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things what caused, what's his name, Piers Morgan, was just like, what? But let's not, like, because I don't want to make it seem as if I'm, like, not, like, because I support Meghan. I believe Meghan. I believe her on the race thing. I think
mm-hmm.
that the problem that we have in the world today about what is racism or what isn't
mm-hmm.
cannot be answered by white people.
Yeah.
It's the experience that is lived and felt by black people. So I feel like, you remember how she said that she said that she never felt that they supported her because she looked at the way that Kate was supported.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people in the British media are saying that, well, everybody in the royal family gets mocked and gets, you
mm-hmm.
know, shitted on, and she must just not think that she's special for getting shitted on. But
mm-hmm.
I think when you really look at the way that, like you said, with the avocado thing, with the thing with her holding her belly,
let's just, you know,
you
dropping
know?
The whole pedophile thing. But what's the one who's, you know, potentially was on the island?
Who's the daughter,
yeah.
the son of? And that's what she said as well. She talked about that it's weird to her that they will not protect her for something that is true. So, and she was referencing the whole crying incident, which said that she said that it was our wedding, there's something
mm-hmm.
happened, and Kate actually apologized. She
mm-hmm.
wrote her a letter and she apologized because Kate actually made her cry.
Yeah.
And this was known, everybody in the palace knew about it. But then when the tabloid started to, like, let's switch the story totally around and say it was she who made Kate cry,
mm-hmm.
She was like, okay, but so nobody's not gonna say anything about that, like,
mm-hmm.
nobody's
corrected
and
yeah.
they just wouldn't. And they have corrected stories about Kate before, like, things happened with Kate, like Kate's family and so on, that
yeah.
was disturbed, and the palace have said, you know, no, that's not right. But what you said a while ago about Andrew is another issue, because you really realize how, I mean, this man is being accused of allegedly, you know, raping, like, not raping, but raping, because it's a minor.
It's assault, for sure.
And they're just like, you don't hear anything about that.
Yeah, there's no comment towards
but
that.
Let's,
yeah.
right, so.
Back to the interview, though.
So the interview, exactly. So what I find, like I said, I believe Meghan when she said that she experienced microaggressions
yeah.
as it relates to racism.
But yeah.
I believe her completely. And the problem for me is that when you watch people watch the interview, white people, and you hear the commentary from white reporters
yeah,
and
excuses.
So on. The excuses. And also because, you remember that book, White Fragility, where they say, like, a lot of white people, when they discuss race, they don't realize, for them, racism is the man, the policeman having his foot on the neck of
literally
George,
shouting,
like,
the N-word,
that,
and
yeah,
it's like
that
active.
Is racism for them. Whereas
they don't,
they don't recognize
yeah.
the microaggressions that black people have
to endure. And my annoyance with the whole thing, and the majority of it, it's always put on, oh, it's just they don't know, you know, because, like, it's it be them being, you know, I think it's just ignorance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it's just like, you know it's like, okay, well, he didn't know. It's like, you don't get to live, I think we have this conversation multiple times, but I feel like as a human being on this world, you don't get to just live your life and be like,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, I didn't know, you know, how was I supposed to? It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's
like a luxury.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a luxury that they've taken on to themselves. And but you know what, I feel like black people, and that's what I said, when the whole thing George Floyd thing came on, I felt like you know, people who know me, who are white, it's like, oh my God. And they come to you with a sense of wanting to be educated.
And you're supposed to explain it.
Yeah. And like, I was like, okay, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But there was a time when I would do that, when I felt like I had to like bring to the table the issues. But like, I'm not, because I don't think that racism is something that we, that can be solved by us, black people or people of color. But so, right, so I believe her with the race thing. I think that she did experience the thing and so on. But here is a little caveat I have with that, though. I feel like Megan is a mixed race, as a mixed race person, presents as a white woman. And not, so we're having a nuanced conversation, right?
Oh my
so
God,
there is
here
no
comes a tea.
No, because
here
we're
comes
not
a cancellation.
No, look here, we're not going to like, because I don't, there is the the milk is not clean on both sides. Mm-hmm. Like the British royal family, I did for us to even have a conversation as to whether or not they're racist, it's just it makes no sense. I don't want to have a conversation about that,
mm-hmm.
because it's you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that we should allow Meghan and Harry to get away either. Like I think, like I said, the milk is not clean on both sides, right? I believe her when she said that she experienced racism. I believe her when she said that she was depressed. I believe her that she had her suicidal thoughts. And I think that's so sad to think that, you know, she was dealing with all of this.
Trapped within a system.
But also, like, what's his name? William and Kate and Harry have this mental health check thing that they do in the UK, this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that there's somebody right there in their midst who couldn't access health help was crazy. But let us talk a bit about Meghan from the point of view as a mixed race girl, right? No, remember, you know, Meghan is a girl that it's a woman that presents as a white woman. Let's be clear on that.
What
do
you mean?
She presents as a white woman in the sense that if you see her, you don't naturally. If somebody never said to us this is a mixed race girl, we would not know.
I mean,
you see,
definitely she has some, you know, ambiguous features.
And my thing with that is this: I believe that living in America, she benefited from colorism. Yeah. And because she benefited from colorism and she was just like the best thing ever, and black people were like, oh my God, you know, whatever. She went over into this space, which is a completely white space, and expected the same sort of
treatment. Mm-hmm.
And when she didn't get that, she was shocked. Yes. And her, and this, and what we're experiencing to some extent, because like I said, I'm not disregarding the fact that what she said about the whatever is true with the race, or that, you know, our depression and suicide thing, she benefited so greatly from being white passing in the US that she, when she went to the UK, she felt like that was what was going to happen. And now she's been introduced to the truth about, oh yeah, well look girl, you're actually, you know, because of the rule, the one drop rule, they don't look at her as mixed race, they look at her as black.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I think she herself, because she, I remember that article she wrote where she said she saw herself as a mixed race person and this and that. And
mm-hmm.
like, we've always discussed this, I am a fan of mixed race people acknowledging where they are, where they stand.
Yeah.
Yes. But how much of the way she reacted to it comes from her annoyance and shock at noticing that, oh, so you don't see me as sort of you see me as black,
you see that can be seen in that way, or also just generally, you know, I mean, who doesn't like to feel special, you know? She did mention in the interview that before she had, you know, started being with Harry, or like it was starting to, you know, because it was like in the public and stuff, like she never really researched the royal family and didn't really have any idea.
And that I don't believe. I think that's just bullshit. And that's also part of why I say like the milk is unclean on her side. Like she's
never know the truth.
Girl who is an actress. She is living in the same time period that we're living. You can't tell me that she going to go on a date with some man in the UK and she don't know about, and then she talk about she didn't know how to curtsy and all that. It's like, no, No.
This is on your face.
No. And I think this is a danger with this whole thing, you know, because people feel like, okay, we have to be on one side. I don't feel like I have to be on none of them sides, because I've approached the thing, like I say, the whole of them, the milk isn't clean on none of the sides, right?
Mm.
But Megan, and some of the people who are against Megan, talk about that. Uh-huh. That business of her saying, oh, she didn't know, and all of that. It's just like, I think she is disingenuous when you come on to that.
Really,
and this is
know,
what,
but
yes,
like, how are we?
Yes.
That's the thing, that's the sad thing, that we'll never know. Like,
how
we'll never
can
know.
You see,
no,
as
no,
an
we'll
actress, though, think about it. This is a girl in her 30s.
You know, some Americans
no,
are.
No, she's, you know what, they said one of our friends, she tell her friend to what did she say, like, must have Google some information about Harry. She mm-hmm. knew who he was, and come on.
We're not going to pretend. I'm not going
to pretend.
I'm just going to be honest. For me, I also definitely call it like a very gray area in terms of that. I also find that very weird, especially in today and days age, where even if you meet somebody new, you're most likely, you know, check them on Instagram, check them on, you know, Facebook and everywhere else already. So that was, I get that, but if she, you can only take what she said, maybe she was speaking about a very specific time of their, like, period of their relationship. I would assume later on they were gonna, like, research it. I mean, that's probably gonna go into, like, one of the next points when it comes to the whole business of her son getting a title of any sort.
And
I think
that's
you were
the
explaining
next thing.
Me,
yeah, that's
yeah,
the
that,
next
that
thing.
It's like based. I mean, this seems very so stupid. Please just like drop that comment. I just think the whole thing is just like, I mean, I get it. It's like, we could, oh my god, yeah, we have, you know, kings and queens, but realistically, like, why do we still have king and queens, and like, why does it matter? Because it's not like they shouldn't have any, you know, weight over democracy and anything. Anyway, to that, like, all that, like, I think that was kind of, you know, after you had explained to me, like, how it works, that basically the way the system is built up, that naturally they wouldn't have got any, you know, regardless of the color of her skin or whatever, they wouldn't have gotten any title. That
right.
After you explain that, I was
and
just
she
like, okay.
And I mean, she crying like that to say, well, you know, they're treating them. I mean, I think it was always going to be a problem. Like, it was always, this was all, I think we all knew to some degree that this was going to end this
what
way.
What are you trying to say? Mixed race couples are always going to lead into drama, Mom.
I think that in a lot of ways, Megan is a damaged person from her own family.
Yeah, let's not even
yeah?
talk about like, her
and I think
balance,
Harry himself comes from a very damaged and dysfunctional family. So I think both of them together is, you know, and I say that with a lot of salt, because I feel like even though you have these two in very many ways broken people, because like their relationships are with their parents and the whole family structure is so tarnished, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
I think that both of them maybe can find healing in each other, and I support that.
Yeah.
I support that 100%. But we have to call a thing, right? And this is like a coming to terms or a coming home for both of them to grow up, and that's why I support her saying, you know what, I wasn't, because she said that they didn't just want to survive, they wanted to thrive.
Yeah.
And they were not able, they were barely able to survive
my
living in the
like
UK.
That, yeah. Yeah.
So now they've placed themselves physically and I think, you know, psychologically in a bitter space
mm-hmm.
for them as a couple and ultimately for them as a family
yeah.
to really grow and to be healed, right?
Yeah.
But let us not try to like, you know, take them away, yeah, and take them away from a certain amount of accountability. Because, like, if she know that she was going into this family and that them setup is just very much in place and entrenched,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that she should have made, you know, better decisions. I don't know, and who am I to say? The fact of the matter is, we are where we are today,
mm-hmm.
right? The one of the things I wanted to also point out is, going back to the business of her and how she, you know, she like I was saying to you, she presents as a white person, as a white woman
mm-hmm.
in the world. She don't phenotypically look like a woman who is black, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that she is now using all of that to that her, you know, her blackness, quote unquote, to say, well, it's because I'm black. Mm-hmm. So that's with Megan. She, you know, she came with her bag of fallibles, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, when she's saying she don't know who Harry is or whatever. But can we talk about Harry?
Guess that was going to be my next question. Like, what are your opinions on him not wanting to, first of all, really, like, quote for quote, say what the person had said, and also keeping the person on lock? But then afterwards, you know, Oprah had a separate interview with another interview. It's like, it's just this interviewception anyway, where she basically said that Harry told her that it was definitely not the queen, mm-hmm. or the king, or like her wife.
Yeah, I think that is a thing that stood out for me. And, you know, I think it's such an unfair thing what happened between how we deal with men versus women. We look at Meghan as the witch and the bitch, and she's the one who is, you know, taking him away, and we put a lot of the blame on Meghan, right? But we don't pay attention to the fact that Harry, first of all, is a grown man.
Yeah,
he's the one who actually had the conversation with these people.
Yeah, because Meghan, right?
Meghan wasn't there. The question for me is, if he says he was as disturbed and upset about the fact that this conversation even happened, what was the point of the interview if he didn't say who said what? Because if he doesn't say who said what he's doing, you know, is he's protecting them. He's protecting a racist.
Yeah.
Whether or not the person is his family or not.
Uh-huh.
Oprah asked him directly, you know, what is the reason why he left for uh-huh. him? Uh-huh. What's the reason? And he said he felt unsupported. And what else did he say? Unsupported and unprotected, uh-huh. right? That's why he felt like, the reason why he left. But here is a deeper, more sinister thing for me, Anya. As much as Harry, I have a lot of sympathy for him and everything. Harry is the typical white person who stays on code and refuses to call out another white person on racism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And you know this. We know this, yeah. Living in Germany. A lot of white people will say, yeah, but it was a stupid comment,
yeah, or it wasn't just so like good. Over it.
Yeah. Yeah. When really no, it was racist. So if he's saying that this is what he experienced, because he actually was in the room when this was talking,
mm-hmm.
why is he not now? What was the point of the whole interview if not to tell us, look, William said it, or Kate said it, or I don't know, Kakamela said it.
Mm.
And I was offended, and this for me is why I feel like the family is not supportive of our mixed race family. Yeah. Then the whole system really could be called into question, mm-hmm. and some real changes could happen. But what he has done, you know, he just sent out a lot of smoke signals, and now everybody is wondering who said it. I wonder who.
Yeah.
And he protect them by saying, oh, it's not the queen and it's not Philip, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, he's uncomfortable with saying it,
yeah.
And I think that is where the conversation should be.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we allowing Harry to get away with not calling out a racist?
Yeah.
Because if you are protecting a racist, you are technically yourself somebody who support racism.
For me, there are two things with that whole thing. On the one hand is, first of all, I didn't get to watch the whole video, so I don't know, like, did he say what his response was then to that, or was his response just like gasp?
No, she asked him, and he basically said he's uncomfortable with talking anymore about
it. Just generally, period. I must stop. My second thing is, I find there's a part of me that wonders if this is like a real elaborate scheme of manipulation, if
on
either
your part.
Just like either it's just on Harry or Meghan or both of them together or whoever. But this makes it almost worse, because by not knowing who it is, and he kind of, you know, canceled, okay, it's not the queen, it's not her husband, but like, it's like, okay, so who is it? Like, find the racist. So then basically, and we know in the day and age we live in, you know, in good, better for worse, is like when somebody is like accused with this, it's kind of like a stamp. It's just like when somebody calls rape or something, mm-hmm. like that, like, you're marked it until like there's significant information that shows that
evidence,
it wasn't
otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's kind of like it's back and forth. And I saw like a short snippet of when, like, you know, people were asking William and Kate, it's like, or they were like, I don't know, at some kind of school, and they were like, oh, you know, what are your comments on, mm-hmm. on Harry's and racism? And then William was just like, we're not a racist family, or something like that, just along those lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it, you know, tabloid, somebody come, probably, you know, have no
yeah,
big conversation.
My
with them,
question,
but
though, to you, Inya, is what you said a while ago, like, the like, you see, because Harry and Meghan, it's like they are building now a brand. because they have to make a living and a life outside of the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that was what the interview was. It was just to say,
I mean, they did say at the beginning they did not get paid for the interview.
Well, it's not about money right now. This is, we're living in a world of social credit, like, yeah. You understand? And yeah. They have a whole heap of social currency right now,
yeah.
Because she used some trigger words, suicide, racism, depression, depression, and
really
racism.
Like signal words, and everybody's like, whoop. Everybody's,
yeah,
like,
exactly. So it's, yeah, like, that's what I mean when I say, like, nobody is clean. Like, there is, and I don't like the idea that they would want to sort of like manipulate, you know, my sympathies, mm-hmm. and then, you know, try to cloud the conversation. Like, if you say Harry, that I'm speaking to Noreg, if he's telling us that he was in a room where there was a conversation, yeah, happening, and that's why when was his name, Piers Morgan, came out and he was like saying,
yeah,
look, we need to have the context, and even in the Queen's response, she, yeah, said, you know, there are, what's to say, what was the statement, there are different perspectives,
yeah, yeah,
and some,
yeah,
or something like that.
The,
and I think it's recollection might vary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there is an argument to be made about that, because, and then we can have another kind of conversation. Because I remember talking to Auntie Melanie about this, and she was saying, we need to calm down and chill, because when I was pregnant, everybody was like, okay, how the children go look? What, I wonder how they go look.
Okay.
And
what?
I was saying to
who
her,
who are those people though? Those are your family members,
but these
your
are
friends.
But
we're
these
not,
are
but,
Harry's family,
okay,
members.
But do you think that kind of family dynamic that you have with your family is the same as the same kind of family they have? And then what is the context plan? Because I think as a true family, when your family member comes to you, that, first of all, your family is black, so, you know, there's like, it, first of all, that's different. Second of all, I think the foundation is more of like that, you know, that you have a loving connection to your family, whereas their kind of relationship is very like strained, emotional, cold, you know.
And also, like, well, my pushback on that, when she said that, because I don't necessarily agree with that, because I feel like we talking about it on our end is different from the royal family talking about it. We're talking about,
exactly,
white supremacists, the bastion of white supremacists,
blood,
and all of that. So when
have.
They're having that conversation, it takes on a different context,
yeah,
and connotation.
With different things.
That said, though, I do put the blame on Harry's, lay the blame on in Harry's lap to clarify that.
Yeah.
And by him not clarifying that, you realize people are not upset with him, you know. They're upset with Meghan, and this comes again to the whole business of how it is for women. Like,
yeah,
women,
yeah,
we are the ones who get
the
blame,
yeah,
and we are the ones who are the witches and the bitches and the this,
mm-hmm,
and the that. Whereas the man gets to the sit there and be like, yeah,
well, it hurt me, and then,
yeah,
you know,
and I'm
worry.
Not, I'm not okay with that, and
yeah,
I feel, and I think this is where I was going back and forth with Auntie Melanie a lot, because even though, you know, I see Meghan with her like manipulative trigger words, I still support her though, because I know as a woman going into a setup like that where, you
you're
know,
the other.
Exactly. And she's other in many, many ways. Like,
yeah,
it's not just that she's, you know, from America or that she's mixed race. It's that her culture, the way how, you know,
so
and the way
is,
the family is.
Mm.
It was hard. I can imagine it was very difficult for her,
mm,
right? But I don't think that when we hear the think pieces and the commentators, they are putting the blame on Meghan so much, and I feel like it's not only just unfair, it's just, it shows a patriarchy, you know, about,
yeah,
how women in women are the ones who
get
all of it, and they have to, but at the end of the day, they're the ones who have to make the decisions, but a man will make the decision, but he don't get blamed for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He just,
or questioned or anything like that.
You know?
Because I mean, even that's what the essence of what I got out of like the clips that I was watching, that the decision to leave the royal family came from Harry's side. Like, Harry was the one who kind of like, okay, we're gonna do it. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Meghan wasn't,
mm-hmm,
for it, but like, it came like, where they were putting it was like, okay, it came from Harry, like he wanted to get out of the family.
And yet we don't blame Harry so much. We see people,
yeah,
saying that it's
like,
she who pull him, and because she wants,
yeah,
she wants celebrity, or she wants.
But I remember when we even, because you know, we will admit we did watch the wedding when he got married.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that you said that, like, you know, that, like, whenever you see Harry, what you always, you know, your mind runs back to that clip of him walking behind the casket of his mother. You know, I think that's the image that, like, is in a lot of people's heads, where that's how they see Harry, as this, like, small boy who was, you know, his mother got killed. And I know that is a part of who he is, or who, you know, a part that made him today. But he's a grown man now at this point, and I don't know what their ultimate goal is with this whole thing. I don't know how. I feel more like, you know, the way that the British royal family is, it's probably going to get just, like, hushed down, and after a while it's going to die down because the next drama is going to come up. But this has been a really crucial moment for them to, you know, step up, become more.
I don't feel the same way about Harry anymore, I have to say. Like, this interview, you know, there are some people who watch the interview and they're like, oh my god, it ruined them for the, you know, the royal family for what they are now. Like, I never need to see them anymore than I see them already. I know they're colonizers, they're the bastion of white supremacy. So, like, that I wasn't shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't shocked by what they said.
Yeah.
I was, however, very there was a revealing moment when I realized, well, hold up. Because of how I sympathize with Harry and the way he was brought, the whole thing what happened with his mother and everything,
like,
I gave him a pass over the
yeah.
years. But I think this interview showed me that he's very manipulative, because you cannot tell me that if you are sitting in a room and you feel like the conversation that is being had about your unborn child is racist by people who you consider to be family, right?
Yeah.
And it upsets you so much that you pack your shit up and you leave and go to another country. And now you're talking about it, but you're not really talking about it.
Yeah.
What are you doing then? What are you trying to do? You're trying to manipulate me
mm-hmm.
to follow behind you or to support you, right?
I don't really know what
happened.
But
I don't really know what happened. And you've made it very clear that you don't plan to tell me what happened.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, I feel like
that's the thing with the two of them.
Yeah.
Meghan and Harry, both of them come from, like I said, broken, dysfunctional setup. So you're looking at people who are themselves,
mm-hmm.
like, there is a lot of repair that needs to happen with how they operate and how they know themselves. And we know, the public, we're being drawn into it, right? And it's such a messy situation, because on both sides, the
nobody's
British
telling
life,
the full truth.
But
probably.
Well, because
we don't know.
Can I say this though, Anya? I do feel that, at least with the British royal family, you know, I personally see them as colonizers, and them are, you know, archaic and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't come to me and talk to me all the damn time and tell me how they're feeling. They keep to themselves and them. Yeah. Whereas Harry and
good?
No, Harry, it's not good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm
yeah.
saying though that's they're standing in their truth. You know, they're standing in who they say they
it's
are.
Just in silence.
But Meghan and Harry now are coming to us and telling us how they're open and they're, you know, they want to cheat. They you know they want to
shine
speak their
on
truth
yeah.
and so on. But they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally not. And I feel like this is how the manipulation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody watching this, like I say, like, I have no foul in this fight. Like, no foul in this fight. I'm happy to hear that she's pregnant and that she's having a girl and that they are going to build their family. I don't want to hear nothing more from them. I really don't want to hear nothing more from them.
Yeah.
I personally would like to see the British royal family decide what they're doing going forward, because I think people are assuming that it is this father who made a comment, because he also said in the interview that his father didn't take his calls or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was very curious that he never mentioned William at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's maybe William that he's more upset with, because you know you're upset with somebody when you don't even mention their name.
Yeah.
Right? And I think they will have to figure out how they're going to repair their family. And what the response was, like, you know, they don't have no more comments to make, and they're going to deal with it as a family.
Mm-hmm.
I think you don't get that privacy no more. We invested. We're all invested. We want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know, Camille, I say, like, I really wonder, is there, like, okay, I feel if Harry would have said, okay, he doesn't want to say it because they have some contract or something, you know, that is stopping him from talking about it, I guess I would understand it. But him just blatantly saying that, you know, okay, he's not going to say it just because he's not going to say it, and the fact that he wouldn't even talk, say he doesn't want to say who it is, fine, you know, do you. But like, I was more interested to say, okay, so what was your response? So like, what did you say towards it? Because that's
he
a
never
part
said,
of exactly
well,
for me,
tell
that,
us.
That's a big part of the whole problem that we have in today's age. A lot of times you'll hear people say shit, I'm like, oh my god, he said it. I was like, okay, boy, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how was your part in the whole play? Did you check the person? Did you at least,
yeah,
like, you know, do your due diligence and, you know, said what needed to be said?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you or just like huff and puff and leave?
Because what are you expecting?
Exactly.
What you want me to do now after,
yeah,
the fact?
Yeah.
Why are you telling
also,
us?
Also, also the next thing is, he is a white man. Like, it would have been different if, you know, Megan said, I mean, you know, she, because I think, as you know, a person of color or just generally, and you know, when you have those like comments, and you always have to see, is this situation calling for me to say something? Do I have the energy to answer this, right? But as a white person, you have the time. You
mm-hmm.
should. You are married to somebody who is mixed race. Your
mm-hmm.
child is going to also have black in him. Your child is also going to have to deal
okay,
with
but can
that.
We talk about that too? I was watching a very good interview, video on that. So
what?
People was like, okay, let us calm down. Because Archie was never, and by the way, I still don't like the name Archie. But he is
he's
never, he's not,
light,
he, exactly, he's
yeah.
like, what, 25% black?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the little girl is also going, like,
mm-hmm.
what are you, and
they're still,
remember,
you
we
know,
talked about this already, about
yeah.
how we have to stop this business of, just because you have this drop of black in you, you become 100% black, because that is a construction that was given to us
racist,
by
yeah.
racists.
Yeah.
And so if we follow through on that, what are we doing?
Yeah, we're not doing it better in a way. Yeah, true,
you understand?
True.
Somebody from the whole business of knowing the facts about the royal family and everything, when they explain that, yeah, he's not getting a title because he's going to be black. He's not getting a title because which Prince Charles has made a decision that he wanted to modernize the monarchy, meaning that the only the people who are actually in the family who are doing the work. So, for example, himself,
mm-hmm.
William, and the Queen, like, only these ones were going to be the ones who are being paid and like have like
uh-huh.
access to you know, the purse, the money or whatever in a big
How
way.
How modern is that though? Would
no,
the modern approach
it's,
be
it's,
just
it's,
get
it's,
rid of it all?
He's down. What he's basically doing is like scaling down, no, scaling
okay.
down the whole thing, because in terms of the budget, that makes sense. Like, because you don't have as a big family. Imagine you have everybody that walk around with you know,
mm-hmm.
big budget from royal purse, and that
yeah.
economically it makes sense, right?
I can get the
but
if, oh, I'm sorry
but,
to,
yeah.
I just I'm sorry to stop you earlier, but I can understand though, that it would feel. Because when was that decided? At present, I don't know the date.
That happened like
it was
he's
it before.
Been seen, yeah, he yeah before Harry. I think
Meghan,
even
before
they
were
Harry
together.
Them together. Yeah, he's been about wanting to scale back and to reduce the amount of persons who are on the royal
yeah.
payroll, because, and I think it in a way is a sensible thing to do, because I think he knows that this thing is this horse, the wheels are falling off of this horse,
mm-hmm.
right? But in the interview, Harry made mention of that too, because he, you know, he said that William and his father, that they are trapped in something that they don't believe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's very interesting to realize that, okay, so maybe what Harry is doing, you know, is that he got out of Dodge and he's giving them a way out. So if Harry, if
like
Charles
being held
and
hostage in the palace, oh my God, we need
yeah,
to
but
save them.
Yeah, but you know, you don't watch The Crown, and you see,
no.
if you watch The Crown, you would really understand that it is they are trapped in the palace. They are trapped in a system that yeah that does not is not conducive to mental wellness,
mm-hmm.
because they are so restricted in what they can and cannot do,
mm-hmm.
And so therefore like. Harry saying that is kind of like his way of giving them a, you know, giving them an out. So Charles could say, no, you know what, I'm walking away from this, which I doubt that he would do,
yeah,
because
yeah.
you know the whole power structure behind them would just, you know, fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
But can we talk a bit about the British population? Like, as if I was a UK citizen, I really don't understand how. I don't understand, like. The business of having a monarch is like, you know, you have like a mother and you need a father and somebody to like tell you what to do. Like, they're not behaving like adults. Like, you don't need all of that pomp and pageantry.
Mm-hmm.
You need effective governance from your politicians, and then you govern your own life.
Yeah, but I think, like, how involved are the British people, like, in the whole setup? You know what I mean? Like, is it just something like, okay, it's just there? Like, a majority of them, okay, I didn't know they have a queen. Or, like, are they, like, that invested still? As they
I think this is where the problem, why they're upset with Meghan. Because I think Meghan did...
kind of destroy the
house. We always talk about how, what is your version of a good life? What is your version of happiness? What is your version of, like, you know, reaching in life?
Yeah.
And for the British population, I think they look at the royal family with such honor and such sacredness, right? And like, it's the best. It's like you reach, right? And the fact that Meghan is like, okay, no. That's not my definition of happiness. I'm gonna just take my children.
It's like goddamn America.
Exactly. I'm gonna take my children. I'm gonna take your favorite prince. I'm gonna make a life over there. And I don't wanna do. I don't. This is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that happens to us as human beings. You know, when we all collectively we coalesce around something that says this is what it. This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have one person who looking challenges. At it as like, no.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of like very jarring for people. You know, and then it's like you have two response. Either you just like consider it and think, wow, maybe it's true, or you become really invested in ensuring that the thing stays how it is. I'm like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, even with Piers Morgan, his outrage.
I was gonna say, I think that's the next thing we have to talk about, because that was so goddamn dramatic.
But he walked off and so on.
He's like, I'm off. He just started walking.
And you know,
off.
I have to say, I'm telling you again with the whole manipulation thing, because with him. You know, his argument is that, you know, the queen is 90 odd and her husband is in the hospital and, you know, this is what they... I'm like, well, okay, well, yeah, they're old. So what do you want?
Life goes on.
Like if they have an issue, Ari and Meghan, they still have to say what they're saying.
The right
they don't have to sit
and,
down and let's wait until... Well, we're waiting until they die or we're waiting until they get young, because they're not. The thing is what it is.
And there will always be a reason to, like, okay, but you don't have to do this right now because, you know, it's this and this person's birthday or this and this is an event. And so
mm-hmm.
Also, what I wanted to ask you, because my understanding of when the interview was published was the day of when the Queen made some kind of speech about family
to
and
the
stuff.
Commonwealth.
That is so, she was also talking about like family, or
that's what you mean, the Commonwealth is a family. It was
that
I think it was
so
World Commonwealth Day
though.
from Meghan's point of view,
whatever it is, whoever planned it to open to like let it to be on it, that specific day. I mean
the whole thing, like I said, there are no angels here.
Yeah.
And I think this is what I hope for this whole thing, that people recognize, wow, there's a lot of brokenness that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at the core of it, you have a family that, you know, is going to, I think, God forbid, when the queen passes away, because I really don't think the same mystique and magic that they, so let me say, quote unquote, magic.
Yeah, who's gonna hold that?
No, not who's gonna get that?
Yeah.
Who? Because personally, here's what I think. I think it's William or Kate who said something to Harry.
That's
about
suspicion.
Yes, and because I think you remember, you know, Harry had said William told him that he thought it was too early for him to get married to Meghan because they didn't know each other long enough,
mm-hmm.
and why was he in a hurry,
yeah.
and so on.
And
so I think there was
divorced.
a little bit of bad mind going on, and I also think Kate is. I can see it 100% that she's jealous of Meghan.
Yeah,
of course, like come
like
on.
She had the whole shine and all somebody else, and she's like, oh.
Yes, and it's not just anybody. Meghan, even though I'll say that she have like a manipulative ways about her. I mean, she's a very intelligent woman.
Mm-hmm.
She is very, I think she's an extremely attractive woman.
Mm-hmm.
She is unafraid. She lived. I mean, she was married before.
Mm-hmm.
She's traveled. She's an actress. She had a real job. I mean, Kate comes from what's known as, like, or what I call the spouse the royal family spouse farms, mm-hmm. where there are these families, wealthy families in the UK who basically feed their girls to the royal family to the hope that they go married to one of the kings. Because that's what happened with Diana. That's what happened with Diana. Diana was picked. 18 or some little age like that when she got with Charles.
Yeah.
And this is what the royal family want, though. They want people who are not that exposed, because then you can fall in line better.
Yeah.
But the issue with Meghan is that Meghan is completely outside of the box of what they used to.
Yeah.
And I can totally see how Kate saw that. And remember, there was this, they did a tour. They went to, I think, where did they go down to Southeast Asia? They went on a tour, mm-hmm. Meghan and Harry. And it was when they came back from the tour that things just seemed to go haywire. Remember when she did the interview down in South Africa, and they asked her, the reporter asked her how she was feeling, and you saw it on her face, like she was close to tears. Like, yeah, thanks for asking, mm-hmm. but no, she, you know, they're managing a lot, they're dealing with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was after that tour when they went back to the UK, because I think it was such a successful tour. Because there's a lot of infighting and jealousy that happens in the royal family, you know. Where, like, because Charles was very jealous of Diana, that the public loved her. And that was what was, I think, potentially happening. I mean, we all love Harry. I think most people prefer Harry than William.
Yeah.
But Harry and Meghan together, the two of them are, like, superstars in comparison to
the rest.
William and Kate.
Because they're, like, they're kind of the, how can I say it? Like, what today is modern and
exactly
and all of that.
So I mean, there's that aspect to the whole thing. But all right, so I think we touched on everything. I feel like Meghan and Harry, they just must just go and go live their life now. Just I don't want to hear from them anymore. And I mean that respectfully. Like, I want them to be happy.
I feel like you said this the first time when they left. I feel like I heard you vividly say the same thing. I was like, they're supposed to go. We don't want to hear from you. Just go live in peace.
Yeah, go and live your life. But I don't think that is what is going to happen.
Of course not. This is,
and that's why I'm saying that the milk isn't clean. And I think that there is a certain level of manipulation on both of their parts to try to use us, the pub, and by us, I mean, because I wouldn't even put myself in it, because really and truly, while I watch the interview and we're having a podcast about it, I don't really care. Like, I mean, come on.
You can't see an hour into it. I was like, well, you know, after all that, I don't really care that much, because, you know, misinvested with the crown. I thought I was gonna get some, you know, inside knowledge of, you know, other people said that it's close to a lot
to
the of
truth. The, yeah, yeah. There's a lot that goes on there, that, because they stuck really to the facts. Like, for example, you know, the dynamics of the relationship,
mm-hmm.
And I think even Harry himself said that he watches it, and that while he accepts that there are, you know, because they put other things in it to buffer it up, but the bare bones of it is factual.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I thought it was a good comment on his part, because he said he felt like when he can watch that, and he's okay with, you know, writers and producers taking the story and building around it, because he accepts this is a series.
Mm-hmm.
The problem he has is with the media, where he expects the truth from the media, but they turn around and do the same thing that the movie makers are making, like, are doing.
Spice up the story.
Right, and so therefore it's like, that's why, you know, we're living in a world where we're not sure anymore what is real news, what is not, and all of that.
That's the next thing, like, we talk about this already in terms of, like, spiritual abuse, in terms of, like, we've had stories that's in different areas and various topics and things where you hear one thing, the next day it's something else, and then more, and it's exhausting, you know, the back mm-hmm. and forth. And at the end of the day, I would want to believe, or hope, I can only speak for myself now, and I wish, like, everyone the best, and us hope that everybody can, like, live their lives to the fullest as how they want. It's awful to know that there's still this clearly entrapment of a system of this family where people, you know, cannot live their lives, they can't, you know, be open and truthful,
yeah,
however they want.
I mean, you have to watch The Crown.
Okay, Mom, I'll put it on my watch list.
No, like, seriously, because I did not know about this situation, and while I was watching it, I was researching, just because I was like, is this really true?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Queen's sister? What's her name? Anne. She was, her whole life was ruined because, she wanted to marry a man that the queen was like, no, yeah, not him and not right now. Yeah. They send the man away for how much years. She ended up not marrying him. And, you know, she had problems with alcohol and drugs and so on. And, I mean, she eventually married and had two children, but she died a sad woman. Like, it Jesus. Wasn't good. It that wasn't good.
So depressing.
No, I'm telling you, the family, when you look at the whole family and yeah. what it is that they do in order to maintain this quote unquote royal life, it's really very disturbing, and that's
why
I'm
financing all of this.
But like, that's what I'm, the British people.
What
like,
are
why
they, what are they adding? All right, it's like, what are they adding to the ecosystem that we call humanity? You know what I mean?
They colonized most of the
exactly.
world.
Exactly.
And, like, and the British public. That was what I was interested in after the interviews, just to hear what the polls were saying.
Yeah.
Like. You know, how people yeah. and because it's not about us who live outside of the UK, it's the
yeah.
people who live there.
Yeah.
And like they did, the BBC did this poll, this initial poll, and they were like, what they said, like only 34% of people like felt or believed what Meghan and Harry said.
What?
Like most people felt That's that it was disrespectful to the crown, disrespectful to the queen. They don't believe them. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, the real problem for me lies with people in the UK who are okay with this. Like, they're okay with... And I'm this is not to do with the crown now in terms of the royal family. I'm talking about they're okay with people's individual human beings being born in a family where they are in prison, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And people look at the family and think, oh, but they have it all, you know, they can get to wave and they live the life of luxury. But no, they literally are in a they are the animals in the circus, because they are the ones who have to perform. Their entire life is performative, right? They cannot go and live a regular the option to go and live a regular life is not theirs to have, just because they had the misfortune of being born in the family.
That sounds so stressful
and toxic.
Like I know, I feel bad watching the wedding. We're like, oh my god, they're getting back, because it's like that was like the highlight, like peak moment, like
what?
You know, when they always have like, you know, like them having a wedding and being like so grand, and like those moments are just like the
nothing
yeah.
And but they're nothing, because like when you're really like, even with Diana. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was so shocked to find out that she basically, before she married, she did already know that, you know, Charles was there was a third woman in our marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the whole thing is very performative. And
mm-hmm.
even with, that's also one of the things that Meghan and Harry said in the interview that I noticed nobody not saying nothing about.
What?
That they actually got married 3 days before, you know.
Really?
Yes, in our garden, in one of the palace, them with priests and everything, and that the actual wedding. Like I said again, it's just a performance
for the UK
for the population. And I'm
yeah.
like, if I am part of the UK population, I was like, what is this? What does that say about me that I need for this family to do this grand circus performance for me and to entertain?
Yeah,
because when you look at it from that perspective, I feel almost sorry for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the queen, I mean, her situation is a much better story. Like, her love story is much better than any of the others. Like, because she really loved Philip, like and they were together like as young couple, and her father was he approved of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So she got to marry the man she loved, right?
Yeah.
But when you look like at Charles, for example, who was forced to marry Diana, and he was clearly in love with Camilla,
mm-hmm.
right? The other, and it's like, The idea that you're born in a family, and because you're not the first child, you can't just be like, okay, you're the spear, you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so toxic. And the fact that,
yeah.
you know, the system and the population endorse that kind of dysfunctional living. It's insane.
Because wait a second, wasn't Camilla also, she was also married and divorced, and that's why they didn't want them to get married, or?
She was married at the time. Oh, no, hold on. It says that, again, you have to watch The Crown, because The Crown kind of, like, explains what happened. Because Charles and her, they were always together. Like, they really liked each other.
Yeah.
She had a boyfriend at the time when
oh,
she was with
okay.
Charles. But then when they realized that Charles was really in love with her, they basically you know, sort of pushed her family mm-hmm. to force her to marry her boyfriend, so that would be like a lock off for Charles not to be, yeah. But that didn't stop it, because they still maintain the relationship to the extent that, you know, Diana, when in our our final interview, she said there were always three people in our marriage, like there was always three people. And the fact that the royal family knew all of that backstory going in, and they knew all of that. And so I feel, like I said, I think that Meghan and Harry are very manipulative in the way some of the moves that they make, and there's no angel in this setup, right? But what I will say, let's like to be, you know, quote unquote hopeful for the future, is that this break that they've been able to achieve, because Harry's uncle, the former king, he also had the same situation where he was married. He abdicated the crown, and married an American woman, and it never worked out too good for him, because he went away, and they basically was just not. They didn't have nothing to do with him. At one point, he even wanted to kind of like come back and still have, like, you know, the privileges or whatever. Yeah. And they were like, no, you leave the family, you're out the family.
Yeah.
So my hope is that for Harry and Meghan to, I don't want to hear from them. Like I say, respectfully, yeah. I don't want to hear from them. I want them to go off and just like have as good a life as they can possibly cobble together, considering how broken both of their families are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I felt that was unfair with the interview with Oprah, because Oprah never asked her, you know, too much about her family and her what father. Was going on in her father and the whole thing, you know. So I just hope that then go on off now, go live them life. Me like the fact that it's a girl that they're having, so they have a son and they have a daughter, so there's a balanced dynamic in the unit of the four of them, and from that balance, me hope healing will take place, and that they'll find a way to make a life and show, because I think what Harry said is true. I do not think that Charles really wants to be king, and I think William don't have no choice in the matter, because he must just happen to be the one born first, and he just fall into it.
Yeah.
I hope that they can look at him and think, well, maybe it's time to kind of pull up to rescue their family, their real family, and allow the whole monarch and royal thing to just, you know, die a natural death. Yeah, die a natural death, right? But God, we don't know how the thing will work out.
Well,
so
that was an interesting, you know, topic of something we don't really care about, but we kind of do, sort of.
Yeah, on we kind of do, because, you know, I mean, Meghan is that, and there's more to talk about with Meghan in Armenia, the whole mixed race things, and how I have to say, one of the things that bothered me was just like, when I talk to a lot of people from Jamaica, they're like, yeah, we don't like Meghan. I'm just like, look here, we cannot line up behind the royal family over Meghan. Like, we can't do that.
We cannot
do that, because we're talking about who in the Caribbean who are colonized people. Mm-hmm. Like, we grew up on them lauding this whole white supremacist thing over our heads, and colorism and colorists are able to exist today because of them systems. I still do,
yeah.
So even though I see what Meghan is doing, and she and what she's doing is not unseen by me. She not slick. Mm-hmm. Like, she not gonna tell me no foolishness. But I didn't know, and oh, whatever. She's manipulative and a bit narcissistic as well, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will support. It's like the better of two evils, basically.
Jesus.
No, for real.
Like, you're picking your poison. Basically.
Picking your poison, I could never line up against her, knowing, as a black woman, what it feels like to be in a country where you are in a situation where you have so many people, who subtly, you know, say little things, and it's like you have to do the work constantly of, and it can be, if you're not a strong, solid person, you can get some mental issues from that, you know. But we will continue the conversation.
We'll see. I always feel like time will always tell. I think I can imagine a couple of years, or we don't know, maybe next week we have more information on it. Just like how the whole thing with Diana, I mean, the community documentaries are now out, where you actually hear what was going on. And it's like, wow. And
them keeping safe is important.
Yeah, it's not even saying it's worth
that. So, See the sun coming out.
It's a good
way to end.
Yes. Well, Mom, it was great talking
to you. Why the tone of your voice change all of a sudden?
We'll see when this episode reaches the internet.
No, listen, stop. This is just March. The year is still young.
Okay.
Yes, we didn't put out one for February, but we're going to put this one out and also the other one that we didn't put out. And then we're going to tape one for April, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because I think the Germany, this election on tomorrow is local, but
yes,
there's going to be another one in September.
Yeah.
And we might have one or two people coming on to talk about what that means for Germany, like,
or special guests.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for having the conversation. And of course, thank you all for listening. Make sure to, you know, check us out on Facebook, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and yeah. Stay safe, keep healthy, make sure you take your zinc.
You know what I said, like, they always say, stay negative.
Stay safe, stay positive.
No, you know what I mean, like, stay negative, though. Like, you get results.
Oh, God, yes. You know, somebody that they posted, like, we should all be positive. And then it was like, people were like, you can't say that in today's climate.
Because you don't want to be positive.
Nobody wants to be positive in 2021. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and hear from you next time.